back on the post game, J.R. Jones does too, and he apparently is going to have context for a thing I had not heard of before, Jungle Juice. So we promised you guys a story about the atmosphere at Georgetown Prep, but it actually kind of extended to Yale as well. These are different places Kavanaugh went to school, and obviously with the massive allegations against them, it brings us into light. And I want to talk about it, though, in not about Kavanaugh in particular, but about the culture. And so there was a woman. Now, I've read many, many stories like this, but in the latest New Yorker story, there was a couple of instances that I thought were illustrative of the other stories that I had read. So in this case, there was a woman who was in the same area in the 1980s, and she said that the guys in some groups were trying to, quote, get female students blind drunk on Jungle Juice, and that they treated women like meat. And then I'm going to get into more details in a second about high school and then college, but pause for JR explaining to us what the hell Jungle Juice is.
Oh, yeah. When we mentioned it before, when it was read about, I said it just now because I thought it was a well-known common term and drink. Uh-huh. So Jungle Juice is like it's a thicker juice, usually like a Hawaiian Punch, you know how thick that usually is.
Yeah.
Or something like that, mixed with vodka. I think it was vodka, because it's hard to really detect it. And so at college, you'd see these at frat parties primarily. And they mix it up. It was made by the time the party started. You go in there and it's there. Mm. And they're like I've seen it in garbage cans. Like the big.
That sounds really appealing.
Plastic bins of like, I don't know how many gallons of thing that was. But they just dip it out. But then they wanted to only give it to the girls because it's super sweet. It's hard to taste the alcohol. And then you drink faster and you don't realize how drunk you're getting.
See, I never thought about it that way. So I didn't know Jungle Juice per se. Have I seen drinks out of garbage bins in college parties before? Yes. Okay. And yeah, and New Yorker describes it as, just like JR said, Hawaiian Punch, but with grain alcohol. I'm sure you could do it with all kinds of different kinds of alcohol. And so, but I never put two and two together that it was sweeter to make sure to give it to women. Because partly because I remember I didn't start drinking until I was 22, my senior year in college. And so when I started drinking, I was like, man, this tastes really bad. So I immediately went to sweet drinks, which were at least like I could stomach.
Yeah.
And so my favorite was, and I thought it was very clever for coming out with a slight twist, was Amaretto Orange.
Oh my God.
Not sour. And it was quite delicious. So, but that was me trying to get myself drunk. Okay. So
this is a 22?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, it is what it is, right? apparently, animals are not the only ones who are innocent.
Yeah. Didn't you like rush home to play ping pong with your friends when you were in college?
No, high school. Oh, we didn't have a ping pong table in college, but otherwise we would have.
Okay.
No, in college, please. I was busy debating people.
Of course you were. Yeah.
Okay. No, it's not to say that I didn't have girlfriends. I did. We just were not. I was going to say not that sophisticated. I don't think that that's the right word.
No, sophisticated is definitely not the right word. But you were like a dorky, responsible student.
Yeah, relatively speaking, yes. Mm-hmm. But I have to say, and we've had this debate before, and I don't know why we're bringing it up now and only getting ourselves in trouble. But I want to make a distinction because I think it's an important one that, hey, getting a girl alcohol or hoping that everybody gets intoxicated enough to lose inhibitions, I don't think is remotely the same thing as this. And I don't know, maybe we'll have a range of opinions here, but it's one thing for a guy to say, hey, look, I got her a drink, let's keep it real, as opposed to a group of guys who are here. In fact, let me give you some quotes to give you a sense of what I mean by that. Because there was one in particular. So now to Yale, James Roach, who is now the CEO of a software company, had gone to school with Kavanaugh and Ramirez. And he said about Deborah Ramirez, that's the latest woman with an allegation against Kavanaugh. That's the one where Kavanaugh apparently took out his penis and put it next to her face while everybody was drinking. And Roach says about Ramirez, she stood out as being exceptionally honest and gentle. I cannot imagine her making this up. He said that he never witnessed Kavanaugh engage in any sexual misconduct, to be fair, but he did recall him being, quote, frequently incoherently drunk, as opposed to what you saw on Fox News tonight of like, golly gee, I was so innocent and I never did anything.
But he couldn't have been incoherently drunk because he was a virgin at the time.
Plus, he remembers everything. Like, they question the memory of the women because they were intoxicated. But he was, every witness says, oh no, he drank to excess nonstop. Mm-hmm. But his memory is apparently perfect.
That's what I was telling Anna just a bit ago, because I watched more parts of that Martha McCollum interview from when he did say I was a virgin, therefore, some purity test. So outside of that, there was a beginning point of it when he said, so this party that was at the corner, he named these two corners of a street to where this party was and how many people were there and then probably what time it was. He was given very specific, detailed information about this party. And I was like, this has been coached up, obviously, so you can have this narrative of, I remember the street name, I remember where I was. If you don't remember all that, you must be lying about everything else. So obviously this mm-hmm. is an information gathering thing they've been preparing him with to come up with this narrative. That's why they're so eager to hurry up and get this through, so they can hurry up and give this regurgitation of the story that they've been preparing him for.
See, again, just as like a person trying to figure out what the hell is going on here, I don't remember the name of the streets my friends lived on and that I went to a million times. You telling me you know the name of the streets of this and that party makes you less credible in my mind, not more credible. Like, you're trying a little too hard, son, right?
He's being coached.
So anyway, and so he described Ramirez, this James Roach did, as a vulnerable outsider. And he said this quote is, and why I brought him up in the first place. He said, is it believable that she was alone with a wolfy group of guys who thought it was funny to sexually torment a girl like Debbie? Yeah, definitely. Is it believable that Kavanaugh was one of them? Yes. Okay, so he's not saying I saw this particular incident. Again, I'm not talking about this in the context of that incident. I'm just talking about it in general. So I think that like, there are guys who say, hey, you know what? I don't want her friend coming up and blocking me. That's a thing that I've left out an adjective there, right? Mm-hmm. That you've probably heard a lot in your life. And if you haven't, bless your heart, okay? But it's different to have, according to Elizabeth Razor, who disputed what Mike Judge said. Mike Judge is the other guy in the room in the Christine Blasey Ford incident back in high school. And so, actually, let me just give you that, and then we'll have the full conversation. Razor went out with Mike Judge for 3 years, and Judge had said about how there was no horseplay with that took place at Georgetown Prep with women at all, okay? And so Elizabeth Razor was like, no, I can't let that stand. I don't want to throw anybody under a bus, and I feel terrible, but she said that Judge had described an incident that involved him and other boys taking turns having sex with a drunk woman. There's an allusion in Kavanaugh's yearbook to two-on-one. And so that's where I want to start the conversation. Look, one thing is, hey, I'm trying to hook up with this girl, I think, okay? Another thing is, why don't the three of us get her in a room alone and make sure she's blind drunk? I'm not saying anything extraordinary, right? Like that there's a world of difference between those two things?
Yeah. I just want to note that when it comes to white boys going to Ivy League schools, there's debates about what is and isn't inappropriate. And more often than not, the argument falls in their favor where it's, oh, boys will be boys. Just want to note for the record that any disadvantaged person, and I'm talking about someone from, you know, a poor family or a minority, would not get the same treatment. The debate would automatically fall on the other side, and it would be, oh, look at these predators. Look at them and how they treat women. I just want to note that. I don't know what's true, what's false. I'm going to be honest, like, I kind of hate that my job now is this. You know, is, oh, look at the monsters among us and let us decide whether or not they're guilty or not. I don't want to do this. I hate it. I hate it so much. And it's now 95% of what I do.
So one of our members wrote, I didn't have a chance to go through all of your comments because obviously there's too many of them, but I think it was Kat, if I'm not mistaken, I'm not sure. Anyway, she wrote in a comment saying how depressed she was with today's news stories because there were so many of the, and then there's the guy who did the poison pill and the trying to induce an abortion, and there's the one with the daughter and oh my God, Jesus Christ. And I feel your pain, right? And we got to do it day in and day out. But on the other hand, I think these cultures existed for a long, long time, and they were never exposed. Mm-hmm. And I think this sunlight is enormously important. So as uncomfortable as it is, I think these conversations, we got to have them. Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Jay.
There's not a regularity of guys, especially in college settings, certain, I guess, high school settings. I don't know which high schools act like this. I didn't go to them. Or even had the opportunity for guys to act like this. So everyone knows the dynamic of girls going out in groups and no one leaves a girl alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why does that exist? They think every woman in history is just like, you know what? At 14 years old, you get to talk to your mom and all your friends go, you know what? When you guys start going out in 3 years or so, whenever, start going in groups for no reason. Or when Sally walks off, when three of you stand there and go, where'd Sally go? And you get panicked because I've seen women do it. And I'm like, damn, this something's really wrong. I mean, when I first saw it, I was like, what's wrong? Like, I didn't know why they would do it. And then, of course, when you see the setting, you're like, I see why they do it. Do you think they made it up just for no reason? I mean, every woman that's ever been out in those kind of settings goes out in groups and makes sure no one is left alone. Unless the girl explicitly says, oh, I'm good. I've seen them say, are you sure you're good? Mm-hmm. When you're sitting with a guy, she's like, no, I'm good. And she'll give them three confirmations before they leave. Why is that? If no guy ever does it.
No, you know what? I mean, I can't believe that at the age of 48, I'm having this epiphany. But as you were explaining it, you know, I remember when I was younger, that annoying me. Like, what do you think we're going to do? Yeah. Like, just why are women against fun? But that was because I was looking at it from my perspective, which was a guy who is not going to get you in a room alone with three other guys, right? Yeah. And of course I should have thought of that way, way earlier, right? But it must be so pervasive problem that universally, hey, you gotta make sure you protect each other, because men could like literally do terrible things if they get you alone. Mm-hmm. And man, that is also deeply depressing.
So what normal guys, of course, wasn't the majority of guys. That's the other thing too. So whenever you get guys who go, and don't say all guys, calm down. If it's not you, you have nothing to worry about. Just remember that part. But if you have a girl that you're interested in and she's with her group and it's gonna be hard as hell to get to holler at her alone because her girls are actually protecting her from you, then you just have to work harder. You have to convince her that you're not unsafe.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And if it takes you 2 or 3 times when you've seen her, that's okay.
Yeah. I mean, so that's not exactly the same thing, but partly why I asked Wendy for a lunch date rather than a dinner date the first time that I met her, right? Remember, I met her at a club, and I thought, mm-hmm. she met me at a club. What does she know about me? Let's go to lunch first. Mm-hmm. So she feels comfortable, right? And gets to know me a little bit before we go on a dinner date. And that's partly why I want to have this discussion in the post game, because the Republicans paint it as they're charging all men. No, they're not. And I hope you weren't in a group where you try to get women to be, you know, blindingly drunk and so that you can corner them in a room with the three of you. Jesus, I hope that didn't happen, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that it's pretty offensive to guys in general for that assumption to be the case, right? And you know, like my milder version of that epiphany happened a long, long time ago when I was out with a acquaintance of mine who was particularly dorky. Mm-hmm. Now, we're all dorky. I don't mean ping pong dorky. I mean like super awkward, okay? And he would go up to women and say like really weird things. And then we'd have to go back to them later and go, sorry. Okay, I don't know why he said that. Sorry, okay? And that gave me the realization, oh, that's why women have their guard up when I go to talk to them. Because they've dealt with 100 guys like that guy. I never have, because that's not, I'm don't get approached all the time, right? And hence, of course, what we always talk about on the show, which is hardest thing in the world is to escape your own perspective.
Right.
And so, but JR is talking about the extra version of putting up your guard. Mm-hmm. And for the, not the awkward guy, but the dangerous guy. Mm-hmm. And so that also exists. Apparently, Kavanaugh was part of an all-male secret society at Yale called Truth and Courage. Well, Truth and Courage sounds good. But their popular nickname was Tit and Clit.
Which, super clever.
Yes, which does not sound as noble, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And I think that even with the charges of misogyny that happened on college campuses and some frats, it's still probably understated. So there's a lot of wonderful people who were in fraternities and didn't do anything wrong, including Michael Schur, Steve O, people who work here, right? Most guys have heard rumors of not at any bad acts, although that, of course, happens as well. I didn't hear of any particular acts against women, but the misogyny, the what they say behind the scenes, etc.
You know, it's interesting, because with Republicans specifically, and with some Democratic men, you can't win if you're a woman who's accusing someone of sexual misconduct. Because if you're a college student and you've just been raped, if you come forward with the accusations as soon as you've been raped, you're immediately brushed off as a liar and smeared as someone who parties too much, drinks, whatever. If you decide, I'm going to keep it to myself, and later some circumstances convince you, no, I need to come forward and make these accusations known now, why did you wait so long? There's no winning. There's no winning if you're a woman who's accusing someone in a position of power or someone who's in a higher socioeconomic status of any wrongdoing. There's no winning, because I don't know if it's just social conditioning, but the immediate reaction, it feels like for most people, is she's lying. Let's now find reasons to believe she's lying.
Well, you know, I'm sure that they would charge that when people say, I believe the women, that they think, well, that's the equal and opposite one. But the stats back up that group. So I didn't say it on the show because I'm not positive. I don't have it right in front of me. But I believe reading some astounding number that 98% of rape accusations prove to be true in if it goes to court. So I don't quote me on that. I'm going to have to go get the number, et cetera. But whatever the number was, it was enormously high. So if both groups are making, and most people are in the middle, but if you're saying there are two camps on two opposite sides, one saying, I unequivocally believe the women, and the other saying, I unequivocally believe the women are liars. Well, one is right about 98% of the time, and then the other one is right only 2% of the time. So it makes you go, on why you're in the 2% camp. I think you should be in the middle and go, well, it depends on the case.
I totally agree. I don't think that it's right to automatically believe every allegation that comes up, right? I think that you have to look at it on a case-by-case basis, see if there's any corroborating evidence, right? And it's one thing to say, like, I oftentimes, if I tend to believe what the woman is saying, but I'm not 100% sure, I'm inclined to believe her, but I'm not an investigator, right? Like, I'm not looking into this and poring over the evidence. Like, I work in the media. But to just outright deny it and say, no, she's lying. How do you know? How do you know she's lying, right? I think you're wrong either way if you take, like, an extreme side without really looking into evidence that's either available, or if there isn't evidence available, then you don't know. You really don't know.
Yeah. Look, one last wading into territory here, but is the first Franken accusation. And I'm not an expert on all the Al Franken accusations. But in that first one, she worked at a conservative talk show station, radio station. And And the day before the allegations, Roger Stone bragged about how Al Franken was going to be in trouble soon. So obviously, conservatives knew that Franken was about to be targeted. So I'm not saying that Franken didn't do even that allegation, let alone the others. But that is a thing where you go, okay, now that is information that is relevant and makes you go, I wonder if there's more to that story and I'd like to know more, right? Mm-hmm. This is, none of the Kavanaugh stuff is like that. It's not like, you know, Rachel Maddow came out the day before like, haha, we're about to get Brett Kavanaugh, right? And it's not like these people were like work, like literally get paid to do liberal, you know, media or politics. Mm-hmm. One's a professor and the other one works in human rights. So anyway, all I'm saying is context matters. And I, you know, I hope we can get to a world where there are these, there aren't these wolfy groups anymore. You're not gonna get to a world where people aren't trying to get each other drunk and lose inhibitions, nor do I think we should necessarily get to that world. But I don't know. I'm trying to be slightly hopeful in these dark times that at least talking about this stuff gets people, a younger generation, a new generation, to go, if some guy I know that is applying pressure to, you know, on us and stuff says, hey, wouldn't it be great if we cornered a girl, the three of us, that a newer generation goes, nah, that wouldn't really be great. Mm. I don't know. Are you hopeful or no?
No, I'm not. Okay. Are you kidding me? Hopeful? Like, the Anita Hill hearings were nearly 30 years ago. Nothing's going to change, period. We're done.
You saw that John Oliver piece on it?
No, I didn't. I can't watch John Oliver anymore. Like, I just, on my free time, I can't with politics. I just can't. That's why I get so mad with old school getting into political topics. Because, like, I just need to shut my brain off and not think about these terrible things 24/7.
Well, you might be happy to know then, an old school segment I'm preparing now is, what is the most American food and what is the least American food? So
love it. I'll be watching.
Okay, I think that's all we got. I hope the conversations are a little helpful, a little useful, and a little bit nuanced. Anyway, that's all we got. That's all we do. So thank you guys, and we will see you tomorrow.